coming to you from New York City. Bringing the video podcast for global Filipinos around the world. Watch and listen as we speak and get to know different celebrities, icons, influencers, and inspiring people. Join Jesse Dang and Jay Cass as they talk about anything and everything while bridging the gap between Filipinos of different generations and genres of choice. This is Over a Glass or Two.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kumusta ka, J-Cass?
Eto, masayang-masaya. Bakit kaya?
Teka, why are you so happy? Anong nangyari?
May gwapo eh.
Kasi ang gwapo. Our guest for this morning is so good-looking. And guys, alam mo, J-Cass has been drooling. Kasi gwapo po ang ating special guest for this morning. My God. So anyways, kumusta po kayong lahat? It's fall season in the U.S., especially in the East Coast. My God, ang lamig. Hindi pala. Actually, last week it was kind of cold. And then this week is not that cold. It's like 60s to 70s.
Lamig pala.
Yes, a little bit. But my God, after
transition
this,
yan.
It's gonna be, ayan na. It's gonna be colder and colder and colder.
And who knows? Ang gulo-gulo ng ang weather dito sa East Coast, we don't know what's happening.
And di ba meron, there's gonna be a La Nina? La Nino.
Jesse Nino.
I know, La Nino. So that means like, El Nino pala. Ano ba yan? El Nino po. Na meaning na it's gonna be like colder than it used to be compared to the winter last year. So sa mga taga East Coast, especially from New York, New Jersey, sa Tri-State, so get ready because it's gonna be so cold again this winter. Because last winter,
buckle up, everyone.
Yes, because last winter we were spoiled. Kasi nga it wasn't that cold, di ba? Parang meron pa dumarating pa yung mga usually like around November, December, and January. Meron kaming mga 60s and 70s, and we were like, this is not winter. So ngayon, nako ayan na. Parang nagre-revenge na, di ba? I know. Teka, Jekas, ikwento muna natin saglit. Ang saya-saya nung ano, no? Nung weekend, no? We went to New Paltz, New York. And we did grape stomping. Actually, Jekas did
grape stomping po kami. At saka, first time ko po. It's so, oh my God, it's so slushy. Ang arte.
I know. I did that like 3 years ago. And then,
ang slushy ng grapes.
I know. Pero nag-enjoy ta. Kami naman, uminom lang.
Iinamin mo ba yung grapes? Pagkatapos ko siyang tapak-tapakan. Oh my God, Jess, it's very gouty-licious.
I know, gouty-licious. How's your gout, Jekas?
Ay, nako.
How's your gout?
Nagamot na ako ngayon. Sana tuloy-tuloy na siya. Kulang pa yung gamot kasi naku, ito di talaga hindi covered. Dito, wala talaga tayong filter.
I know, no?
So, hahanapan ako ng iba. Parang ganyan. Pero I started na.
Ayan. Sana gumaling na yan.
Kumati ka na.
Oo nga eh. Anyways, kumusta po kayong lahat? Good morning po sa lahat ng mga nanonood po. Especially sa mga taga-Pilipinas, sa mga TFC subscribers. Yes, of course. Mga taga-FYE channel in Kumu, right? Facebook, YouTube. At ano pa, I Want TFC. And of course, mga pasahero ng Jeepney TV sa buong Pilipinas. At sa lahat ng nanonood sa buong mundo. J-Cass, ikaw naman, go!
Yes, dito naman po. Sa Brooklyn, New York, good morning po sa lahat ng mga Filipinos and non-Filipinos. in different time zones, in different dimensions, in different continents, in different galaxies, in this whole wide universe!
First! Naku, excited na ba kayong lahat? Kasi upcoming ano to, rising star to na Filipino-American, diba? Na siyempre si Jekas umiikot na naman ng panty
kaso
ng bakla.
Nosebleed yes. Tayo today and tonight.
I know, right? Kasi nga, hindi marunong mag-Tagalog. Pero hayaan nyo na po. I'm sure mga Filipino sa mga nakakaintindi ng Tagalog. Ano ka ba? So, Tagalog ng English. Oo, siya lang ang hindi nakakaintindi ng Tagalog. So anyway, i-introduce ko na po ang ating special guest for this more night. Okay, this more night, we are incredibly grateful to introduce you to another exceptional, talented individual. He's a rising star in the world of music and performing arts. As a young Filipino-American, he wears multiple hats as a singer, songwriter, theater actor, and pianist. He holds a degree from the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, where he honed his skills in classical music and opera. Despite not being fluent in Tagalog, his deep appreciation for OPM music led him to perform the timeless classic Pasko na naman. Pakantahin nga natin ito mamaya na Pasko na naman. He recently unveiled his debut pop and R&B single, You and Me, which he had the privilege to perform live on Wishbox. And also in Tropang LOL and Net 25 Letters and Music Online. Guys, please welcome the very talented and super cutie musician, Kurt Tejamo! Woohoo! You look so shy. You're like blushing. That's how are you? Why
hello.
Are you so, yeah, why are you blushing?
No, it's, you know, it's, I'm so flattered.
Aww. Actually, Jekas is actually the one who's blushing right now. It just doesn't
yeah, I know, but I think
show.
But I think you place it on ChatGPT. It's like mutant version.
Oh. You're so cute. You're so cute. Actually, Jekas was just like, oh my God, he's so cute. So anyways, would you like to say hi to everyone all over the world, especially your Filipino fans?
Oh, absolutely. Hello, everybody. I'm so glad to be here on this podcast and speaking to all of you and getting to see everybody once again and meeting you guys. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks
Hello.
For tuning in.
I know. Are you the type of person like the shy type, introvert, extrovert?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit of everything. Yeah.
Of everything.
Well, I'm a little introverted, kind of like in my personality, yeah. Which is like people like that's really funny for people to discover, because you know it's like, oh, Kurt, you can get on stage and like do this whole role, you know what I mean? And you're an actor and you're a singer and stuff. You do musical theater, but like when you get off stage, like it's really hard for you to talk to people. But Aww. It's, you know, it's because when I'm on stage, you know, I'm like, I'm not me, you know, I'm like doing it. I'm doing
it. Yeah, it's a character.
It's so
character,
true.
You know? Yeah, I think that's how artists are, like Beyonce, you know, you can, you can box your whoever you are and then play the character that you need to be.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Yes,
right.
Yes, seriously, too. Like, because, for example, like I, like a lot of people, like, doesn't even know, like, I'm shy. Like, I can talk like this, but when it comes to like out. No, I can't dance. I can't do TikTok. I can't go in the middle. I have a stage fright. I can't do those things. But whenever like in front of the camera like this, I can like talk and you will not even think like I'm kind of like, oh my God, I can't do that. And Jekas too.
Yeah, I wouldn't guess. Yeah.
Yes. And Jekas
I'm an
too.
Ambivert. I'm an ambivert. I love to be like the center of attention in a party, and I would be like so crazy and make people laugh. And then after that, after a couple of days, okay, I need to go home. I'm sick of you all.
The social battery is like totally drained, you know, and it's kind of like, okay, that was fun. Yeah, I'm sure you all really enjoyed that, but I need to go regroup. Like,
I need my, we need our me time, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So anyways, okay, before we proceed with a lot of the chit chat, and of course we want to know you more, especially I'm sure a lot of your Filipino American fans and Filipinos all over the world would want to know the real Kurt Tejamo. How do you pronounce your name? Your last name, Tejamo?
It's Tejamo.
Wow,
yeah.
It sounded like in the beginning I thought it was like te amo, like, you know, the Spanish, I love you.
I love you, te amo.
So, yeah, it's like really funny. Okay, so we're just going to dive into family history now. So my Lolo, like, so he fought in World War II in the Philippines. And I guess the story that I was told is that, like, he was maybe a little on the younger side of the cutoff for, like, how old you could be to join the military. And so he wrote his name. So, like the our family's name that's in the Philippines is spelled T-E-J-A-M-O, Tejamo.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
But then my Lolo, who was admittedly a kind of stubborn gentleman, was like, no, I'm the one who spells it right. And he spelled it T-I-J-A-M-O. And so their family, so our family has always spelled it that way.
But oh,
our family that's related to him in the Philippines actually spells it T-E-J-A-M-O, which most likely means te amo, which is very romantic and just very fitting for the type of person I am. So,
it's just your Lolo likes the letter I.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think he just thought it looked cool.
I know, but it's
the I and the J.
But it's funny because during that time they can change. Like, if they don't feel like their last name, you know what? Let me go and change my last name. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, I wish we have that privilege. I hate
my
last name.
Would you, Jesse, change your last name?
Oh, hell yeah. You know what? I'll be honest with you.
Tell him why.
Yeah, when I was younger, you know what staying means, right? Daing, right? It means like well, my dad has an explanation. It's like a fish, right?
The fish, yeah. Right? The dried fish.
The yummy dying. Fish. Yes. And then my dad was like this. You know what? I'll be honest with you. In the beginning, I was kind of like kind of shy. My dad was telling me this, but dying is like, yeah, the fish. At the same time, it also means like you're like dumadaing. How do you say that? How do you explain that in Tagalog, Jigas?
Shout.
Like, no.
That daing.
Like you're
daing.
Yeah. As if like you're complaining or something, or you're begging or something. But at the same time, I was like, when I came to the U.S., I was like, hey, no, you know, it's daing now. Plus, they will not forget about my last name because it's different. So, I don't know. Like, yeah, different strokes.
Kind of
for
funny how a lot of those names change when they come to the West, too. I have a really funny story. I won't name names because, in case my friend sees this. But so, my mom, like, you know, like Filipinos, like, you know, there's a bunch of nicknames, right?
Yes.
Like, there's your name and then, like, what people call you.
Yes.
And so, my mom, she grew up with people calling her Inday.
Yes, right? Inday.
And then which gets shortened to Dai, right? And so then my mom made a Facebook page, like a personal Facebook page that said Dai Tihamo. And then my friends from college found that Facebook page and they friend requested her. And then they would come over to my parents' house, like to meet my parents. And my friend came up and she was like, Day, it's so nice to meet you.
It's like a day, moment. Right?
Like, oh, my friend, you tried so hard, and it's okay.
No, because we're Visayans here, so when we speak to our other Visayan friends, we call them Dai.
Dai. Dai.
It's like reminiscent of Inday, but the spelling is D-A-I.
Yes, Dai.
Oh,
yes.
I see. Why. Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Imagine if Americans will hear it like die, as if like
that's,
die,
yeah.
As in death.
Yeah. die.
Sige na die. Sige na die. It's like,
oh my God, we're so funny.
Oh, anyways. Oh, you know what? My God, we love talking to you so much that we forgot to welcome you. Oh, anyways. Oh. Okay. So we have this protocol that we have to welcome or make a toast to any of our guests. So we have to, what are you drinking right now?
I have my mug and it has some water in it.
Oh, okay. I wish it's wine or liquor or any liquor, right?
Well,
right.
I have water too. This is
I know. I have coffee.
Out. Not just by TFC, but by my guy.
Never mind. We're all drinking wine. Never mind. Everybody
exactly.
Watching.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Let's pretend we're drinking wine right
pretend.
Now. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyways, sa sambayan ng Pilipinas mo at sa aming dearest USA, guys, let's all welcome ang napaka cute at very talented Kurt Tihamo. Welcome to
Over a glass or two.
Cheers, thank you.
Okay, and then can we take a picture? Okay, go. One, two, three. Ayan. So anyways, okay, so let's continue the chikahan. You know what chikahan means? Chit-chat. Yeah, chit-chat.
Kwentuhan.
Like, chit-chat. Like, let's start talking. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, conversation. Wait, so I'm curious, like, you don't, like, your parents, I know your mom is Filipino and your dad is not Filipino, right?
Mm-hmm.
is originally from, yeah, obviously, right? Like, was originally from, is he Italian or?
He's like from San Francisco, but their ancestry is German.
Oh, okay. So you grew up with your mom is Filipino, but your mom didn't teach you, or your Lola, or, you know, from the mother's side, they didn't teach you how to speak Tagalog?
Not really. You know, I think it's really hard. How it's been explained to me, it's like, it's really hard to, especially if like you're working class, like my parents were, to like switch back and forth between English and Tagalog, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah. So my mom didn't really have time to like teach me, cause like she was more focused on keeping us alive.
Putting food on the table.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Exactly. Yeah. And then my Lolo, like, I was mostly raised by my Lolo, just because both my parents were working full time, but then my Lolo like didn't like talk a lot, you know?
Oh, okay.
So it just never got picked up. And then, So I mean, like, you know, I know, like, I know when I'm in trouble, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I know, like, when I, yeah, yeah, there's a lot of that. And, you know, some chores, like commands and stuff. And I picked up like just a little bit.
Like linis.
Yeah.
Linis. Yeah. So you know that, right?
Yeah. Or how about palo? Palo.
Yeah. Yeah. Sige, ha? Isa, dalawa. And then for
long time, there you go.
Oh my God, the third was.
Count to three, because if you got to three, then like something really bad was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So like. that was really I'm pretty sure this is foreign language, but my mom, like, her favorite one was like lintik na.
I knew it the lintik na, and as soon as probably that tone of it, her voice, you'll be like, yeah. Right, probably you froze so many times.
Yeah. And then like
Kurt, how about the bastos words?
Those bad words. The bad words.
I know a few of those.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Those are like, amongst the cousins, you know what I mean? Like when we were growing up, and like my Phil M friends, like in public school, like
they would start saying all those. Yeah.
Even
if you don't, I mean, you only knew a little bit of the Tagalog, right? Tagalog words, but at least I'm sure you eat Filipino food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, as in, do you know how to cook Filipino food? Do you know how to cook too?
I've made adobo for myself. And then that's, to be honest, that's
really
the
only one. Is it chicken or pork? I'm getting hungry just by imagining it.
I know, right?
It's chicken adobo, because that's like what we would always make like when I was a kid. Or that's what my Lolo would make. He would always make chicken adobo. So for the longest time, I didn't even realize that you could have pork adobo. I thought like chicken was like essential to the recipe. So I
really? Oh, wow. Lolo, ha? Yeah. Mali yung tinuro mo. No, I'm just saying, like, Lolo, you made a mistake from not teaching Kurt.
Yeah.
You know, that pork is also essential. Like, it's important. I think I like adobo, pork adobo better. Or mixed. Yeah, I don't know. First time it's adobo.
Yeah, a little bit. I also like sisig. I used to work in a Filipino cafe.
Oh, wow.
And so I used to have they made all like the silog dishes. So like I used to get the bang silog all the time.
The bungo silog. You're making me hungry.
The bungo silog is like really, that's like my favorite one. And then like if I knew I didn't have to do anything important that day, I would get the long silog, because I like the longanisa. But the longanisa like burps like last all day, and so like,
I know.
I'm just out of commission for the rest of like that nobody is... hang out with me, nobody talk to me, like
I don't... even if you brush your teeth or you take a you chew a gum, you just be like
it's stuck in there. But before we move on, let me go back again to, we were talking about speaking Tagalog earlier. I can hear like an English accent, Kurt. Am I just imagining it?
In English, like me?
The British?
Like a British accent? I sometimes, maybe when I'm nervous, I get a little overly formal. Like, I mean, you guys are, you know, I'm not saying you guys are making me nervous, but I mean, like, you know, I'm just, you know, this is kind of who, you know, how I tend to get.
just that's true.
It's like, it's like a theater accent a little bit too.
Yeah, like Australian somehow. You know, it's that's what I'm hearing. Okay, let's go back to food now.
Mid-Atlantic is the theater accent, and so it's a manufactured accent that everybody has to learn, and it's hard to place. Like that's why it was created. Like you know, so.
Oh wow! So you can also do British accent or Australian accent.
I'm not so good at those. I just know how to speak like, theater. See, you know, like.
Aww.
I mean, you know.
So growing up in the Filipino environment, especially of course, your family, right? You grew up with your lolo, with your grandma, your Filipino cousins, right? So how is it growing up? Like, is it? Because a lot of my friends like grew up in. Born and raised in the U.S., but they grew up with their Filipino family. So eventually they realize, like, oh, my God, my family's weird. Like, did you ever have, like, a comparison between, you know, your American friends and your parents are kind of like, oh, my God, they let me, like, make baon. You know what's baon? My lunch or whatever, you know, like, I eat this fish or different types of food, a Filipino food that nobody knew. And even if they come to... Let's say you'll invite my friends will be like, I'll invite my friends, and then they'll be like, oh my God, your parents are weird. Like something like that. Did you ever experience that? How was it like, you know, living with a Filipino family growing up?
Well, it's kind of funny because like I had weirdly kind of the opposite experience growing up because like, yeah, like I knew that like my household and my family was different than all my friends' families. But I always thought like my friends' families were weird. Like I never thought that my family was weird. You know what I mean? Like to me, that was just like how you know a lot of things about like a Filipino household are just like logical things, like just like practical things.
Yes,
you know.
True.
So like it's you know, so yeah, that disconnect happened kind of in the opposite fashion for me growing up, and then also like I don't know, I think as I grew up, I just became more and more grateful to the way that my family was, you know, because like, sorry, it's hard to verbalize. I could never really connect with like. Like if I had like white American friends growing up, you know what I mean? Like
it's exactly.
I didn't really get their families or their dynamics.
Exactly. Or their households.
And it was funny because like I felt like they could tell that I was confused by the way that their families worked or the way they spoke to their parents or the way that their parents spoke to them or just like the way, just any of it, you know?
Exactly.
And they would be a little confused by me because like, I mean, on the surface, you look at me and it's like, oh, he's white. You know what I mean? And then,
because you look white.
I look white. And so they just don't understand. They wouldn't expect that I have like this different perspective because I grew up like my Lolo took care of me all the time. And I was at my cousin's house all the time and they're full Filipino. And then like when my parents came home, it was just like, you know, it was like my mom was the one, you know what I mean? The house was just very Phil-Am, you know?
Very Phil-Am.
So I grew up really Phil-Am. So it's just kind of funny how like, I remember like, yeah, like I remember like visiting like my friends' houses, you know, if they were white, it was just like, I feel kind of weird in this house. Like, I don't get it.
It's the half Asian in you.
It's true.
It was
pretty strong.
It was kind of a bizarre experience, like growing up. Like,
you know, I'll be honest with you. I have some friends too that like, because I've been living in the U.S. since I was like 21, 22. I think 22. So like growing up, it's like growing in the Philippines. I mean, in the U.S., it's like, cause like half of my life I've been living here. So whenever I go to like a white household, like
in a party,
or any like other ethnicity, but whenever there's a party, and I'll be like, oh, so this is your party. It's like very few food and all hors d'oeuvres and this and that. And they go to the Filipino party, they find it weird, bizarre as well because they're like, oh my God, as if like you're feeding the whole town.
Yeah, it's a feast, right?
It's a feast.
In the family right now,
it's
right?
Excess right?
Exactly.
And of course, the moms, or probably your mom too, wherever you go, they'll be like, okay, they'll bring out a plastic bag or a Tupperware.
Or
to go.
You need to bring some to go.
Yeah.
You know, I know.
I've started noticing that like the Tupperware and the plastic bags are like being brought out like a little earlier and earlier before the party nowadays. Like as we're getting older, it's kind of like, okay, okay, we already know where this is going. Can let's just do this now so that we're not like trying to do this right before we get out the door. All right, we're done eating. Like, we know we already know what to expect, you know.
Exactly. Even if my American friends would be like, wait, why is everyone giving me like, I have two plastic bags here of like, and then the titas will be like, so you won't get hungry by tomorrow. You can eat that in school or in the, be like, oh yeah, my god, you're so, but they're all grateful. They're like surprised wow, Filipinos are so hospitable, right? Yeah. Like we are so hospitable. Like now that like thinking about it, I was just like, we are. I remember that whenever I have like let's say you know non-Filipinos. So whenever they have a party, be like, okay, guys, so they would, these are the menus. So do you like chicken or pork or any allergies of this and that? So these are the menus and be like, wait, you only have like four menus and you're asking everyone if they're like allergic? Filipinos, we don't care. We'd be like, we have 20.
Somebody will show you what everything is. Like, you know what I mean? Don't worry about it. It's not, we're not going to label it. Someone's going to, don't worry. Lola's going to give you a tour. All right. Lola's really excited that you're here. And you got to eat. Kaina. Okay.
Kaina. Like, you know, go ahead, Jacas.
Yes, Kurt. So now we're talking about, you know, one of the greatest things about being a Filipino and Filipinisms, right? And about our relationship with food. Now that you're grown, what I want to know is what do you appreciate the most being, you know, half Filipino?
It's kind of hard to parse it down to like one thing, but I guess part of me, it's kind of funny because it's like both a thing that like I don't want to say it, not like desperately seek out, but like I like really cling on to is just having a sense of like community and cultural identity. Wow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, and that sounds like a, like kind of cheesy or like a platitude, but it's like true because like, especially for like Filipinos and Phil-Ams, right? Because it's so easy, like, growing up like Phil-Am, you know, it's kind of like an interesting experience, especially if like, you know, I didn't get to go to the Philippines until like a year ago, you know what I mean?
Cause we just couldn't find
a plane ticket. Right. It's really easy to feel disconnected or kind of lost or like aimless, you know? Especially just as a millennial, just in this time, you know, but being Phil-Am has given me something that's like part of my identity that has all these, you know, cultural values and like shared community with other people who like get it. You know what I mean? They went through the same thing, you know?
Yes.
And it's just something that like, I'm just always going to have, like, no matter what, you know what I mean? Whether or not, I don't know, like no matter what anybody says, like that's just always going to be a part of me. There's no getting rid of that. And not that, and I never want to get rid of that. You know what I mean?
It's true. Yeah. It's true. What about the music influence? Cause usually Filipinos loves, it's either you're part of the choir because your mom forced you. Because whenever they realize that, oh my god, you're when you're like 6 years old, you can sing. You know what? My son will be part of this choir, right? Like, or the karaoke all the time, or the parents or the mom and the lolo make you always like want to sing whenever there's a party.
They was push that you also in the middle of the car.
Did it ever happen to you? Because that's part of like being Filipino, right?
Oh yeah, like big time. Yeah, it was a big thing. Well, because I started out like playing piano, like as a kid. And funnily enough, my dad was actually the one that taught me to play piano. And then they got me piano lessons, and then I started playing a little more seriously. And then it was like, okay, Kurt, like it's the family party now. You know, mom's telling you to go play the piano for the family. You know what I mean? That's gonna happen.
Exactly.
And then that was like very shortly followed up by karaoke, you know, and everybody participated. It was like, you know, it wasn't about sounding good. It was about having fun and like coming together. You know what I mean? Music is like a huge, I feel like being Filipino is a huge part of why I'm a musician now. I don't feel like, I know that it is, you know, even growing up, like, my tita Tess, bless her soul. she used to have like prayer meetings, like you know, like in their apartment on like Friday nights, and I would go over, sleep over at my cousin's house, and I just remember there was like always singing, you know. It was like, oh, it was, you know, it was a big Filipino party, you know, you know, people who I'm not even family with, but they treat me like family, you know what I mean? True. And everybody was just, you know, just singing these hymns and songs together, just because it made them feel, you know, happy and whole and connected to one another, you know. And my tita, like, she was not like a trained singer, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
But she, and my Lola also does this, so I'm inclined to believe that she learned this from my Lola. She would kind of just like preface the lyrics for everybody when the line was coming up. So like as they were getting to the end of one line, she would like very loudly announce the next lyrics, like everybody would know where to go.
Yeah. She was like to keep everyone at bay. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. To keep everyone in the same place where no, this is the line that we're going to. Here's the roadmap,
seamless,
you know.
Seamless song, right?
Yeah. Aww. And so, you know, even if you're not singing or even if you're not playing an instrument, you're participating in some way, you know, because it's, you know, just a really important part of our culture. Yeah, so
your whole family are really into music. Especially your immediate family.
Yeah. I mean, everybody like enjoys music, and when it comes time to sing, like everybody's like singing along. As far as like professional musicians, like it's really just my dad and I in the family.
Okay. But yeah, but
music is like a huge thing. My dad is he's a composer and an arranger, and I've asked him to do a couple things for me. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he's a very useful dad to have.
A very useful dad. I would love want to have a dad like that. A very useful dad when it comes to singing. That's why it mold you and hone you to become a better singer. So wait, what made you realize that, you know, you want music to pursue? What made you realize that you want to pursue music as a career?
You know, it's funny. Like growing up, I always thought I was going to be like a doctor or something.
You
know, like because that's what my mom wanted me to be. You know, or an accountant.
Every mom,
you know?
Nurse or a doctor.
The medical field.
The medical field.
Yeah. Medical field or accounting. But to my mom's credit, she has always been like 100% like above and beyond supportive of my career as a musician. When I was 13, my parents bought me an acoustic guitar. I'm a walking, talking cliche. And I learned, you know, some songs and I learned that I could sing and accompany myself. And I was like, oh, whoa, this is like a game changer, because I only ever played piano before. And around that same time, so this is like circa like 2009. I know I'm dating myself right now, but around that time, there were like a bunch of like Phil M's who were getting famous on YouTube. There's AJ Raphael, Gabe Bondoc, Jeremy Passion. And those are like the big three. And then like a bunch of other people, because I guess, representation was few and far between for like Asian Americans and especially Filipino Americans, like in mainstream music. Mm-hmm. But every Phil M and an Asian American discovered them, and like they spread, like they were viral, like you know what I mean. And I discovered them, and then I learned how to play guitar by watching Gabe Bondoc videos and just learning his songs. Oh, wow. And just seeing how he was playing, and I just kept doing it, and then it just became part of my identity. And then when it came time for like, you know, I felt like I was a senior in high school, and then every grown up in the world was like, all right, Kurt, you got to figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Even though you're 17, you got to go to college. And I was like, and I had just joined the choir, and I had just done the musical at my high school. And I was like, okay, well, I'm kind of liking this music thing, so I think I'm just going to do that. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to study music. I'm going to major in music. Okay. Everybody happy now? Like,
what was your mom's reaction? Especially, I mean, your parents' reaction, but especially the mom usually are the one who's giving the violent reaction or that look. Like, what?
There's no pushback, because you know the notion about music, right?
Yeah. Like, struggling artists and all this stuff.
There's no money in there. So what did they say?
So my mom was actually really understanding about it. And so like the only thing that my mom and my dad too, but like especially my mom, because we're talking about her right now, her attitude was like, all right, Kurt, well, if you're going to study music and if you're going to go into this field, then you're going to do it. All right. And we're going to put what we can't, you know, we're going to, I'm behind you. I'm going to push you, but I'm going to push you. All right. And you're going to see this through and you're going to be a professional. You know what I mean? Like you're not just going to give up halfway through your major because it turned out to be too hard, you know? So yeah, that was like really encouraging. I mean, of course, like there was a short time where I was like, maybe I want to be a music industry studies major, which was like a business degree. And then my mom was like, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
At least there's a business aspect of it. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think my mom, you know, my mom never wanted to like hold us back from anything that we wanted to do. You know
what
I mean? You know, so I, you know, and I'm extremely grateful because I do have, you know, there are a lot of stories and, you know, I've had some people tell me some stories about like their parents rejected what they chose to do or like forced them out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's
like,
you know,
like forced them to do like being a lawyer first or in the medical field. Then they would say, once you're done then with that, then you can do music.
And then you can do. Because you always think like, you know, like, let's say, for example, like you want to be a singer or an actor or anything that inclined to music or acting or anything about arts, the parents, Filipino actually parents, would usually say, you know what, take up whatever, like, you know, any course that is more lucrative, and then eventually, because they eventually take, you know, whatever your passion is, because they think like, it's just one of your hobby, right?
Right.
That's just part of your hobby. Yeah. You don't worry about it. You know, like when you have money, then you can continue, right? But with you, at least with your parents, they didn't stop you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
How many siblings do you have?
I have three younger brothers.
Brothers?
Are you the only one? Are you the only one studying music?
Yeah. 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 And my other brothers, they study computer, you know, they study computers and like history and I think animation or graphic design.
Wow. Oh, wow. So just in case. Okay.
Eclectic family. Yeah.
I know. So wait. So just in case, let's say your parents or especially your mom, like stop you from, you know, continuing the music. Right. So what do you think will you be doing?
What would I be doing?
Doctor?
I better say doctor. I think my mom's watching, so
hello mommy.
Hi.
I mean, I really, let's see. You know, part of me kind of thinks like I would have liked to have been like a carpenter or something. Even an engineer.
Engineer.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just building things. Because you know, that's a lot of fun too.
So you're also very good with your hands then.
Well, I mean, I would hope so if I play guitar. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, like I have to service my guitar all the time. Like I don't always want to go to somebody, you know, to like do the action.
Okay. Handyman, right?
Yeah, or like fix something. You know, I don't want to have to pay like $300 every time. So, you know, it's
exactly.
Good idea to like learn how to use tools.
So when did you realize that you can sing? Because some kids, they don't know like until like, you mentioned 13, right? Some kids actually at the age of 5, 4 or even 3, the parents would know right away that, oh my God, he has a nice voice. And then eventually, because I have some friends like, oh, their kids were like doesn't even know, like doesn't, I can't even sing a tune. And at the age of 14, 15, oh my God, their voice just got developed. So what about you? What's your case?
I started singing and playing guitar when I was 13, and I could not sing when I was 13. Let me tell you. All right. I was not one of those early bloomers. But I did have a lot of people encouraging me. Like nobody ever told me that I wasn't that good. Which I'm very grateful for. Cause if somebody had said that to me when I was starting out, then I would have just stopped immediately. Right. But I mean, nobody lied to me, you know what I mean? But nobody ever told me to stop, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And then I really didn't develop any sort of like real, I didn't really discover like my voice until I was like 17. Yeah. And then I had this one teacher, my parents, you know, I asked them sign me up for voice lessons because I wanted to learn because I was in a band. And the band was
you were in a band. All right,
we need a lead singer and you're like the closest thing we got, so you should probably learn how to sing. And I was like, okay, that's fair enough.
And so that
teacher that I was studying with, she is an opera singer. So she taught me some like classical technique and like theater voice technique. And then it was just kind of like a breakthrough moment for me. I just discovered like, oh, like I can do this thing with my voice. Like there's like this whole other kind of sound thing that I can tap into. This is fascinating. And so it just took off from there. I just kept doing it because wow. I was just, you know, that feeling of just like freedom, you know, when you're singing. When it's like totally open and everything's spinning the way it needs mm-hmm. to and everything is resonating. And then, you know, like you're with the band or the orchestra or even just the pianist and you're just like soaring, like it's the best feeling ever. So, Kurt, wait a minute.
So you're in a band. I believe it's rock and roll, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so those are the days.
Rock and roll, opera. What was the reason with that transition? No, J. Cass,
that's really far. Far and extreme from each other.
Yeah. Well, I've just always been in love with music, and in like every kind of form that I could hear. You know what I mean? Like I just every time I would hear a new thing or a new texture or a new timbre or color, I was just fascinated. I just wanted to like know about it and how to do it. How did they figure out how to make that sound, or like, you know, how do those chords work? You know, how does it make me feel? So yeah, I was in a rock band in high school. We formed it when I was 16. That was a lot of fun. We played like on Sunset and stuff, and like got to go on that whole adventure. And that was fun. And then when it came time for everyone to go to college, I was already like moving on to like musical theater and classical music. And like sung theater, like that kind of music. And my artist kind of career kind of took a back seat while I was discovering that part of myself. Mm-hmm. And I focused on opera for like the longest time, because I was just in love with like the technique and the music and like the history of it. And really passionate about furthering the medium, you know what I mean? So I just did that for a long time. But yeah, I've always tried to be as eclectic as a musician as possible. I really like jazz. I listen to a lot of jazz music, actually. I even took lessons with a jazz guitar teacher for like three years.
Wait, before we continue, Jesse, do you want to hear him a sample of the operatic voice?
Yeah, can you please?
The operatic.
Just, you know, like this chorus or something. I heard a lot of your music, like singing, like, you know, the operatic voice, but this time we want to hear it like you singing in front of everyone now, in front of all this audience.
Okay. Yeah. My voice is a little tired. I don't know if it's going to come out properly. I also don't know if the mic's going to pick it up. It might blow up the mic.
It's okay.
Let's see, I have my keyboard. Mm-hmm. Feels kind of fun. I'm like a little embarrassed right now. This is from I can do it from the Elixir of Love. Come pari devet sosa forse il pomo alla più bella via diletta villanella io. I'm gonna start. Io ti porgo questi fior. Oh, we're so tired.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Wait, from singing rock and roll to I'm sure R&B and jazz, and wow, and that wow.
Bert, did you know that we I'm having OGA goosebumps. Team, we just came from Italy more than a month ago.
Oh really?
And you just transported me back and us to Italy with your song right now.
Oh, well,
thank you.
Wow.
I'm glad I could do it.
Have you ever done theater, you know, acting, doing opera or?
Yeah. I still work in that field. I earned my master's degree in opera from the conservatory here in San Francisco 2 years ago. I did a lot of operas with them. And I've done work with some local opera companies here, and I even did a couple of summer programs, or I did a summer program in Prague 2 years ago in Czech Republic, or Czechia, I guess. And so that was really cool. I was singing Mozart there, and I'm actually in May, I'm going to be singing with an opera company called Opera Parallel. And they specialize in contemporary opera, so I'm singing a role for them in May at the Presidio Theater here in SF.
Oh my god,
that's gonna be a really cool show. Yeah.
What about in New York?
Oh, one day, hopefully.
What?
Yeah.
Broadway. What about Broadway? Do you ever did you ever dream of going, to Broadway show, to a mm-hmm. Broadway
yeah,
show?
Yeah, bagay ka doon.
Oh my god. Yeah, it really fits you.
I had dreams of that when I was 19, 20, when I was deciding whether or not I was going to pursue theater or opera, and then I decided I wanted to really dig into the opera thing and then learn how to do it really well, and recently I've actually started coming back to musical theater because they're two different worlds a little bit, and it's really hard to do it's. It's really hard to do opera unless you've gone through all the academic routes, right? And so I wanted to make sure that I got my master's degree in opera because I still very much, I work in that field still. And I recently started coming back to musical theater. So when I say hopefully, I mean hopefully within the next few years.
yes.
I'll figure out how to get to Broadway.
I'm sure. It will happen for sure.
Yeah. Because I'm starting rehearsals for a new musical next week.
Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's with a company called 42nd Street Moon. They're putting on a production of MAME, which is an old golden age theater, musical theater show. It's actually, if you're familiar with "For We Need a Little Christmas Right This Very Minute," that Christmas tune.
Yes,
that's where that show is, where that song comes from. I didn't even realize that before I got cast in the show.
Wow. Okay.
And then in March, I'm also doing another show here in SF, called Larry the Musical, about Larry Itliong, who is he was a Phil-Am labor organizer. I believe the head of he founded the UFW and started the Delano Grape Strike, which is the movement that the NFWA, led by Cesar Chavez, they joined all the Chicanos joined with the Filipinos in the labor movement and revolutionized labor rights in America. And so it's about Larry Itliong, who was the figurehead of that.
It's a Filipino-American produced show. It's all Filipino-Americans as well playing?
Yeah. Yeah. We're an entirely Phil-Am cast, which I'm just so excited about. I cannot tell you guys how excited I am to be amongst my people.
I wish I could be part of Here Lies Love, too.
It's the resurgence of the Filipino-Americans right now.
Our director, Billy Bustamante, is involved with Here Lies Love, actually. He's in the show.
You never know. So, maybe
hopefully one day.
One day, because they usually they pick new talents, right? Oh my God, we're gonna be.
The industry is always looking for people. So I'm actively pursuing that route as well.
Wow. So aside from the Broadway, the theater, the opera, what about you and me? That's kind of a different genre.
It's a pop R&B.
It feels sort of an Ed Sheeran thing. It's kind of the vibe is so relaxed, soothing. So tell us, when did you wrote that song and what was your inspiration?
Yeah. My kind of artist side of myself and my songwriter side of myself is something that I've always wanted to, develop and pursue, and still I'm still discovering my kind of voice and the artist that I am currently, to be honest. It's kind of changing a lot. I actually just released a song also recently with Curve Entertainment, and it's very different from You and Me, but it's still very much there's a part of it. Like if you listen to it, you're like, oh yeah, that's Kurt. That's still Kurt. It's just different like sound. It's very different from like my theater and opera stuff that I do.
Right? What was your inspiration? And who was your inspiration? Person.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the story of that song is actually really funny.
Girlfriend?
Maybe not funny, but like really interesting. Well, so it was written in 2020 when...
Oh, pandemic.
You know, the world turned upside down. And then I was like halfway through the first year of my master's degree. I had just moved to San Francisco. It was like this big adventure that I was going on. I was doing this thing for myself and I was really proud. And then all of a sudden it just got cut in half. And then I was locked in my room by myself because I don't have family up here. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, my family's down in LA, so it's 6 hours away, but still like I was totally isolated up here and I was just locked in my room. And it was like I was 17 again. All I could do was play video games and play guitar all day.
Yes.
I guess.
Anyways, exactly.
So I started thinking, I was just like, where are all the places that I would rather be right now than here at this moment? And so, you know, and so that's kind of like, I don't know, that was like the impetus for the song. And then like, I don't know, I started imagining like, well, if I'm going to be somewhere that like I really love, that I really want to be, I mean, I don't want to be there alone. That's my kind of my problem right now. So I'm like, I'm also started like picturing like, oh, like what if I could be, you know, what was my perfect day going to look like with someone that I love? And like, and then like, it was like, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, essentially, don't we all just like, I mean, that's like I feel like that's one of the highest expressions of loving someone is like, I want to be your perfect day. You know, like I want to be someone's perfect day.
Your perfect day.
So. Hey, Kurt, I want to be your perfect day. I want to be your rain or shine. It's a joke.
Oh, my. Everybody wants to be your perfect day, for sure. Oh, wow. So speaking of perfect day, so do you have anyone in your life like who's making your life a perfect day every day?
This is us now intruding your love life.
Intruding your love life. Yes.
There's a lady friend. There's a special someone. You know, yeah.
Filipina?
Is she there right now? Can she say hi?
No, she's not here.
Is she Filipina or not half Filipina? No. Oh, okay. So sorry, girls. Taken.
look, Jesse, they are not married yet. So the
possibility. Oh my God, Jake, I'm so I know.
In trouble now.
For as long as there's no ring in the finger, then it's okay. Everyone still have a chance.
Yeah.
You're so bad. So, Jay Cass, you still have a chance? Just kidding.
I know. No. There's no line, but I'll be at the farthest. And keep
exactly.
Moving.
Keep on moving. Because there's someone. There's someone
keep,
in the middle.
Yeah, keep on going backwards. Backwards.
Oh, my God. Wait, so
go
ahead.
I know you and me. I think you're John Mayer... sensibility and your love when it kind of came out in that song.
Yes,
it's a very it's a cool song by a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just now and then hearing you sing and hearing your operatic voice earlier, which is very impressive. Do you also kind of want to go back into that and have an album as well, like Pavarotti, you know?
Operatic album. That would be really cool. Yeah, if I could like do a song cycle and have it recorded, that's like a long-term goal, definitely. I actually, something that's like a goal of mine. So in my master's recital, I did a series of Filipino art songs, like Kundiman and by Francisco Santiago. And so I did Anak Dalita and Pakiusap by him. And then I can't remember the third one that I did, but I did a whole set.
Is it in operatic voice?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, they're classical Filipino serenades.
Can you give us a sample?
Do you memorize them?
No, a sample. Just even a short sample.
I think it was Akoyanak nang nalita atigi nang lo a
ang naritong umibig. Nabigyan ng araw.
I think? I can't remember.
Oh my God.
You're the first. My family like was like very critical of my pronunciation, but hey, you know,
it's
like,
okay. It's okay.
Nobody cares.
But seriously, wow, this is, you're the first, we've interviewed a lot, 300 something, almost like,
and a lot 90% of pop stars,
like celebrities between. And pop stars, but you're the first celebrity. I mean, celebrity artist that we interviewed that who sang opera. I mean, that has
the classical operatic
voice,
rock and roll. What else?
Pop art. Can you give us a sample of You and Me?
Jesse, hindi siya magugutom. You're not gonna be hungry, Kurt.
You're not gonna starve. Because
you have a lot of jobs coming to you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Can you give us a sample of You and Me?
Oh, wow. Sorry, that single is actually a little bit far out right now. Is that audible? Does that get picked up by the mic? Should I hold it like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
actually
better.
I started playing in E because I liked it better. So it was like, you and me. Seeing you and me on sandy shores and summer breeze, palm trees. Wait, oh shoot. Ah, wrong chord. I'm so sorry.
John Mayer. I hear John Mayer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Wait, oh my gosh. I think I'm really like embarrassed right now. I think I'm having trouble remembering my own song. Give me a second.
No, it's okay.
I believe that's normal. That,
yeah, it's normal too. I always forget what I'm my line
or. You're my perfect day, baby. You take my breath away. There's nothing that you have to say or try to be for me. 'Cause baby, you're my perfect day. It's a perfect day, baby. To love without delay. 'Cause perfectly we fit together. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Oh my God, when I heard it, I was like, I want to have like a margarita in the afternoon, you know, walking on the beach and the shore.
Grabe, Kurt. Your song and your voice right now is nakakalaglag panty.
Oh, English translation, please.
Do you know what I just said?
I don't want to endorse something that I don't understand, but I kind of understood it.
360, like the underwear is spinning.
Yeah, the girls and some of the boys, I'm sure they lose the underwear because of your voice. Because of your talent.
Oh, my God.
That would be good if I'm wearing any right now, but you know, there you go.
So, Kurt, I'm curious. So what about, who's your favorite Filipino artist?
Well, definitely, I probably say this in interviews like too much, but again, like the biggest influence on my singing and playing has been a Philam artist named Gabe Bondoc, who got really big on like YouTube. Since then, I mean, I really enjoyed like OPM that like my mom would listen to. Yes. Like she listened to like Sharon Cuneta, like Mr. DJ. That was like, she was like,
no way.
Oh, you know her.
You know her.
Yeah. And then, I think, Freddie Aguilar is he's like the bad boy that like my mom would always listen to. Let's see. And then recently, I was turned on to some kind of newer like OPM. Recently, as in like in the past couple of years, Zach Tabudlo, he's amazing. Oh my gosh, his songs are so good. He's like pretty well established, kind of up and coming. And then Kaki Pangilinan.
We had an interview with her.
We love her. She's so cool.
We
interviewed her. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, that debut album of hers is like a no skip album. It's like masterful. I love every song on it.
Oh wow.
And then who's the third artist that I was like listening to a lot? Ben and Ben.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, it's like very good
music. Everyone's favorite.
They have over 100 members though.
Yeah, right. Oh, and then there was a recently like a, oh my gosh, what's the artist? I just discovered them because on TikTok they have a song that's Ikaw Nga or Ikaw Na Nga. No, Ikaw Nga, I think is how you say it. But South Border.
South Border.
They're like a really cool them, right? group.
Or not yet. We did. Not yet. Oh, okay.
The pop R&B icons too.
But you know, yeah. I'm curious. Like, I would understand the other artists that you just mentioned, but Mr. DJ, that's like an old. I wasn't even born yet. I think that during that time. But can you sing a little bit of that?
I'm a little nervous too because like I don't know the words. I just know like
okay,
the
okay,
melody,
okay.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that I'm gonna like butcher the lyrics. But
So
my mom would like hum it all the time, and then like it's a really catchy song. You know what I mean?
It's true. That's why Sharon Cuneta became famous because of that song. Well, what about like your favorite dream collaboration? Filipino artist.
Well. After listening to that Kaki Pangilinan album, I'm like, man, if I could like do a duet with her, like that would be like, my gosh, the most amazing thing ever.
So
like,
Kaki Pangilinan, if you're listening,
is she back in New York? Still in the Philippines, Jesse?
No, I think she's still in New York. Yeah, studying.
Yeah. Well, they always go back and forth anyway.
Yeah. The team, the production, so Kindred Productions, it's kind of funny. They, produced her album. That is also the team that produced You and Me, which was a really interesting experience because we were mostly like, cause I was in the US, I was in San Francisco and they were in Manila, I believe. And so we were like collaborating like via Zoom and like Google Drive. And so I had this demo for a song and I sent it to them and I sent them all the tracks and they sent me back like a demo track. And then I would like record some stuff and send it back to them. We did that like 3 times. And then those guys are wizards. They're masters.
And congratulations. Speaking of You and Me, you sang it live in the Wish Bus.
I know.
Yeah,
Wish
Bus USA. That was a really cool experience. They were really nice to me.
Wish Bus in here or Wish Bus in the Philippines?
Wish Bus in California. Like that was down in Los Angeles. So it's Wish Bus USA. Yeah, that we did that on.
You know, I'm curious. I know you went to back to the Philippines for vacation. This is your first time visiting the Philippines? When you visited the Philippines?
That's a year
ago. That was like
last year,
right?
Yeah.
Wait, is it a vacation?
well, I mean, it was like kind of a vacation, but it turned into mostly be for work.
Mostly.
I don't want to say mostly, but like my mom had always been trying to take us to the Philippines because she wanted to show us, you know, where she grew up and like where we came from and what it's like in the Philippines, you know. But I had already been signed to Curve Entertainment at that point. So when we traveled over there, you know, it was like, oh, like this is, you know, our chance. And so that's when I was on Tropang Lol. On TV5, and that was a really great experience. That was, oh my gosh, my heart has never like been so, pounding so hard. Because I grew up kind of like, well, I didn't grow up watching these shows. Like I grew up watching my Lolo watch these shows, right?
Yes, so exactly.
My Lolo like on like channel 18, like he would watch like I'm kind of outing him, but like he would watch like you know like Eat Bulaga or
yes.
like Wow yeah, We you know like the game
the
shows
lunch
shows.
Variety
exactly.
shows
the Filipino yeah, yeah, yeah. channel right TFC for sure
yeah absolutely yes. And so like I was familiar with these programs right growing up, and then you know as I got older, like I you know hadn't watched I'd been privy to that type of you know program in so long. So when I got to Tropang LOL. It was like, I'm on the studio and it's so loud and everybody, there's like, you know, there's like all these dancers and there's these lights and like, there's announcements. It's like, you know, and I was just like, oh, I forgot. I'm so sorry. Okay, give me a second. Give me a second. It's like way Look different. It's way different being here than watching it through a TV screen. Like,
did you sing "You and Me" there in the?
Yeah,
you did. So it's kind of funny.
So if you watch it, like the I look like I'm just so like, just like totally like. Like chill and like calm and like you know,
but deep like inside.
But like, just know, like if you watch it, it's like really funny because if you're, you know, you might people who know me kind of like they can kind of tell like, oh Kurt, you're panicking, like he's doing that thing with his chest, he's doing that thing with his face, and he's kind of freaking out a little bit.
Like,
so it's really funny. I feel like if people know that and then they look up, Kurt Dihamo on. Trobang, LOL. If you watch the performance, you're gonna have a good time being like, oh wow, that's so funny. Oh, on the inside, he's like, his heart is pounding
hey,
so
Kurt,
fast.
I imagine that you were very, very excited and finally going to your homeland. The thing is, so when you're there, what was your first impression of the Philippines?
Was it the opposite? Just kidding.
No. I mean, I really loved it. I mean, well, so we first like. We went pretty much like straight to Manila, and that was like a really like interesting experience, like only because like it's, you know, it's metropolitan, so it looks like an American city, like True. From far away, you know what I mean? Yeah. But there's like little things that are different that, you know, especially like we were kind of part of, I can't remember where we were, like kind of like old, I guess like my mom said like older Manila, I guess, like there's, you know, there's like BGC and like Makati, right? And then there's
Central Business District.
And so it was just like, you know, the traffic was interesting,
unbearable, right?
It's horrendous. You can say it. How about the heat?
It was like very hot and humid. But then I don't know. I just like it. Just it was like I really liked, you know. It was just a really like nice experience. Just to like, it was just so cool. Just to be like, oh, this is the place that I grew up like hearing about. And then we were in Intramuros.
Intramuros, yeah, that's
Intramuros. Yes,
old Spanish influenced.
The walled city. And we did. We were there, and that was really cool. We did that tour, and I was I can't remember what it's called. But it's like a cart, and then it's being pulled by like a donkey.
Oh,
it's a horse. It's not a donkey. It's Kalesa.
It's a horse. Kalesa.
Wait. What I really want to know? Look, you're a handsome guy, and you know we love mestizos also in the Philippines.
In the Philippines.
We
oh my God.
I'm sure the girls are ogling over you. How many? Were there lots of girls? Like, you know.
Flirting with you. Hey.
I mean, I was
I'm
there
sure you felt
family,
like a celebrity.
So I wasn't like chatting up like, you know, girls, like, you know what I mean, at the hotel or anything, you know. Like I was like there with my family and I was there to work, you know. Like,
What was your memorable experience you've ever experienced in the Philippines?
There was a day when we went down to Batangas.
Oh, okay.
Right? Cause my parents like to scuba dive. And so we were going through the countryside, kind of more the provincial area. And then just seeing that, you know what I mean? And just to getting to experience that part of the you know, the countryside. As well,
each the rustic life, the simple life in there,
everything.
There was like a, you know, there's, you know, like we were like driving through like kind of like a mountainous kind of part, and then like they had the harvesters had taken the rice, and then they put mats out in the middle of the street, right, the road. And then the rice was like drying on the mats, like in the middle of the in the middle of the road. And then I remember our car stopped and was like, we have to get around? And they were like, no, just drive over. It's okay. It's drying. It's like the husk.
What?
It's like the husk
is still
on.
I've never heard about that. You can just drive over the rice.
Yeah. They just told us to drive over it. So we just did. And so it was just really cool.
But you want to go back for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
How about the food? The food, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure you fell in love with the food.
Man, I gained so much weight.
I can imagine. Yeah, we can relate. Yeah.
And like, you know, like every day and like and fried rice, the garlic rice. Oh, my Lord. Ugh. And then like the hotel that we were staying at, like had champurrado like every morning. And I was just like,
you're making me hungry.
You know, because like when I was 8 years old, Lola would like make champurrado, and then I was only allowed to have one bowl. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but this time I can eat. That's enough. Unlimited.
Wait, how about the balut? Did you try it?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I had already. That's like a rite of passage for our family.
You eat balut?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of
the bagoong.
With your eyes open.
What about bagoong?
Yeah. I mean, the first time that I ever ate it, I was like, what, like 16, I think. And it was like, yeah, I just had to like one shot it. And nobody told me how to eat it. So I ended up trying to eat the, you know, at the bottom, there's the stone.
Yes.
I put that in my mouth too, because I just one shot the whole thing. Because I was like, just don't think about it. And I was like, what's this? Why is it so hard to eat? Like,
you didn't find it icky. They told you it's duck embryo inside. And
yeah, I had already known. I mean, like every Phil M like grows up hearing like, you know, like, you know, about it. You know what I mean?
But
like,
it tastes so good.
That one and like dinuguan.
Oh, yes. Oh,
you know, like
when, right, the chocolate
if you're,
meat.
If you're like a little. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
The
when
chocolate
you're, like,
meat. Kid, yes.
They're like, oh, eat it. It's, you know, it's chocolate beef. And you know, like maybe if my ate had brought a boy over who wasn't Filipino, they would like prank him. You know what I mean? And tell him it was chocolate. You know?
I didn't think it was chocolate.
No, I'm in so much trouble. I'm outing my family. Ooh. Like I'm telling on them. But yeah, so there was one year I remember. So we tend to do it on Easter just because it's kind of funny to have an egg dish, I guess, on Easter.
Yes.
Even if it's duck and not chicken. But yeah, and so like there was one year that my mom is usually the one that prepares the balut. And then somebody had forgotten to like cook the balut. And so like I'm opening it and I look in and I'm like, I mean, this is only my second time having this, but it wasn't this gooey last time. And I'm kind of like,
God.
I'm like, and I
don't
even like put it to my lips because I was like, well, you're supposed to drink the broth or whatever.
The soup, yeah.
And then my mom had heard that and she was like, what do you mean? She looked at it. She's like, oh my God, give it to me. It's raw.
Oh my God.
Salmonella times 100.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty scary.
Wow.
But in the Philippines, yeah. Yeah. I had it. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, wait, did you see the street food carts?
Yeah,
we
were like
the fish balls, the fish balls that are flat, that doesn't look like balls.
That tastes
like fish.
They're like flat, right? Yeah, because they like different or whatever. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I remember there was like in one of the towns where we were staying, there was like a little boy. He was like walking through. It was like maybe like 7 o'clock. The sun was just going down. He was just going, balut!
Oh my God!
Hello. You know, like I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like,
and the taho, do you know that?
Yeah.
I thought before, when I'm hearing it, tahong. I thought you know, it's muscles, you know, but no.
Oh my God!
That's like choking.
Oh. seriously, you're like you. I know you were born and raised here. You look like pute, right? Like Caucasian. But you know what? You're like really Filipino.
Very surprising thing for people. Yeah, a lot. Like
right.
And like even like you know like the small amounts of like Taglish that I kind of have. Like I can't speak, but like if it's like Taglish and it's slow, then I can kind of get by. Like 60% of the time.
Yeah.
And I remember I used to work at a Filipino cafe, and then you know most of our you know customer base was like older Filipinos. You know,
Titas
like maybe
and Titos.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. Like yeah. And so. You know, it was just funny because, like, I know to say, like, you know, salamat po, like, you know, magandang umaga, you know, like, hi tita, you know, and then it was just like, what? But why do you look that way? But it's just like, I'm sorry. That's the only way I know how to, like, act.
Their brain couldn't compute it.
Exactly.
If I were to try and act like puté, you know what I mean? Like it's just exactly. it would be really unnatural. You would feel uncomfortable. I'd feel uncomfortable. It's just better for both of us. If I just do what I was trained to do when I was a kid, you know, because then it won't make the hairs on the back of my neck stand up like I'm gonna get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like, then I remember there was like even I would hear people would be talking, and there was like a way that people would say puté. You know, that I would be like, oh, they're talking about me. I don't know what they're saying, but I know they're talking about me. And then there was even a time where it was funny because my coworker, he wasn't even Filipino. He was Thai, and he didn't speak like a lick of Tagalog. And then this guy looked at him and he was like, I think I had just shown too much competency in what he was asking for. I think he was ordering biko. And then, and then, he looked at my coworker and he pointed at me and he was like, halo, you know, like, so.
Ah, yung mix. Yes.
Like, oh. I thought halo, halo. He wants to
I know,
order
me
halo,
too.
Halo, something.
Halo, halo.
Yeah.
My God, it's, you know, it's just funny because as I'm saying, like, you're more Filipino than other real Filipinos. Like, and, who was well, born in your love, no, and because
and your love for OPM is very admirable.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Wow. So, Kurt, what can we expect from you in the near future? Any big recordings?
The next Darren Criss.
The next, yes. You never know. Yeah. Yes.
That's hopefully on its way. Right now I'm like booked up for the year with performances or musicals that I'm doing. So I have this show coming up, and then I'm really excited to get started on Larry the Musical because it's just something I really believe in, you know, and I get to tell a Filipino story with a Phil M cast, you know, and you know, bring visibility to like our community. So that's really exciting. In terms of like Kurt Tejamo, like my artist project, I just released a single titled Dream Chaser on Spotify.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's a new one. So everybody go listen to that one. Help me out. I'm just kidding. You know, some other songs are in the works, you know, coming up. My Lolo passed away in February of this year. And so kind of
sorry to hear that. Okay.
And so I mean he was like 90 something years old. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, he had like fun for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's in heaven now partying, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No. Yes. If I know my Lolo, then he absolutely is. You know, there's a song that I'm hoping to release by the time the anniversary
that you wrote.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So and that's kind of like
you're also
that's
still
the next
cannot wait.
You're teaching music still on the side right now, or is your main?
Yeah, yeah. I am actively a music teacher for an elementary school. It's a lot of fun. It's a kind of a new adventure for me, but it's also like an outlet where, I mean, I'd been teaching private lessons before, but now you know it's like you know full time music teacher, you know as my day job, and it's you know it's really great to I've always believed in like giving music to people, you know what I mean, and if you know if I can impart that knowledge onto like a younger generation, then
I'm sure
you know.
You're what type of teacher are you? I'm sure you're a super cool teacher, right? Music teacher.
I try to be as fun as, I mean, if you're teaching music, you know what I mean, it's gonna be fun no matter what, but I try to be like, yeah, cool fun teacher, you know. I taught one of my videos because every once in a while, you know, I'll just like, you know, something cool will be happening in the classroom and I'll just film myself and not the kids. But like one of my most popular videos on my social media is there was this song that went around TikTok that was just like, it was like, if I were a fish and you caught me, you'd say, look at that fish shimmering in the sun, such a rare one, can't believe that you got one. It's a song about like accepting yourself and loving yourself. Yes. You know, and I was like, that's a song that we're learning, that we're doing that. I taught that for my first graders, and so there's like a video of them like singing that song on my social
I
media.
Like, I want to watch that. Yeah.
I want you to be my teacher.
How come, Jcas, before you ask that question, you release that question, it's already in my mind that you would ask
so well,
because I know you so well.
And sometimes you live vicariously through me because you can't, because if not, our director will throw
exactly
stuff on your head, some frying pan or something. So let me just do it.
I know, right? Oh my God. Thank you so much, Kurt. We had so much fun. I know it's like an hour and a half. I didn't even notice the time.
Like, honestly, I know, we love talking to you, but before, talk to you guys forever.
Before we let you go, I love to ask this question at the end. And I know you're pretty young. What are you, 22 right now? 25?
I'm probably older than you think I am, but I'll let you guess. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll just let you leave that.
You're very smart. You're very 25. Talented. So I want to know with this question, like how we would answer it. So Kurt, if you were given a chance to travel back in time and then you talk to your younger Kurt, what are you going to tell yourself, the young one, the young Kurt?
You know, like, I'd probably say, hey, chill out. All right. Stop freaking out. Everything's going to be okay. Wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. And that's not just okay. That's not just fine. That's a good thing. Chill out. You're going to get wherever you're going and you're going to have a good time. I wish that I had that perspective. And I would also say, practice your scales. Come on. And arpeggios. Come on, Kurt. Come on.
You can do it.
We love that. Well, thank you for that. Wow.
Oh, that is it's true. Like, I would tell myself too, like, hey, practice whatever that you're
good at. Yes. We just love talking to you. It's like from the back.
I know.
It's
like we've known each other for so many years, right? And now you hang out just in case you chill in New York City, you know, reach out to us. We'll chill.
You have your new friends. You don't have any choice. We're your friends already, Kurt.
Yes. Do you have a lot of friends?
I'm locked in, and that's okay. I'm happy about it. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of friends in New York, in the East Coast?
I know some people, you know what I mean? Yes. If you're a musician in any capacity, you're going to know somebody.
Oh, yeah, true. Like. Yeah, so now you have new friends now, right, in New York. So,
yeah.
God, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
Oh, my God. It's an honor. Salamat, Kuya Ben and Ate Janet.
Ate Janet, we love you so much.
Kurt, te hamo to us. Oh my God. Do you have any last message to everyone? And of course, feel free to promote any shows that you have or future shows.
Oh, yeah. I would say follow Kurt the Hamo Music on Instagram. Follow Larry the Musical on Instagram if you care about telling Filipino stories and raising up Filipino voices, especially Phil-Am voices, which historically have been really easy for people to ignore. Then if you're in San Francisco, come see the show. That's what I'll say.
Oh, thank you so much, Kurt. Thank you. Maraming salamat for gracing our show.
Salamat po.
Salamat po. Ayaw, salamat po. There you go. So, JCast, close our show for this morning. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, mga kaogat, for watching this fun episode. Don't forget to share this amongst your family and friends. Thank you so much to the Filipino channel TFC subscribers and also I Want TFC streamers and our ABS-CBN FYE channel community. And thank you very much for watching. And of course, our pasajeros, our drivers, our conductors, from the whole Philippines watching in the Jeepney TV. Kurt Tihamo, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Pare.
Thank you so much,
thank
Kurt.
You so much. Thank you so much for getting to know you, letting us into your world. And of course, singing different genres of music. This is just what I want to ask of you. Once you become really big, don't forget us because we can see it right now. Okay, that's where you're going. Okay,
we can foresee your future. You're gonna be so huge. Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Let's have our last toast for this morning, guys. Mga kaogat, Jesse and Kurt, amidst the challenges of life, let's still find ways to be happy. Let's all talk about it. Over
a glass or two. Bye,
everyone. Thank you, Kurt.
Bye. Thank you. watching and listening.